Welcome to the Profit Business Cast, Canada's podcast for innovative entrepreneurs and executives. And brought to you by Bennett Gold LLP Chartered Accountants. Here is your host, Robert Gold.
Once again, from high atop the Business Cast Podcast Center in Toronto, live and in the morning, we're way off to the west. I can see Elbow, Saskatchewan. I'm Robert Gold, Managing Partner of Bennett Gold LLP, Chartered Accountants in Toronto. And this podcast is produced in partnership with Profit Magazine and ProfitGuide.com. Today, it's a real treat. John Sculley is with us. His newest book is Moonshot. John, as we all know, is the former CEO of Apple and Pepsi. He's a guest for a second time on the Business Cast. John, welcome back to the Profit Business Cast.
Thank you, Robert. It's good to be back.
I'm really excited to talk to you. I'm a big believer in Moonshot. All the information about Moonshot is at johnsculley.com. We can all find the information there. John, let's jump right into it, and let's just get a little bit of background. You're a really well-known business personality. Can you tell us something about yourself that you don't remember having been asked before?
Well, that's pretty hard because I've been asked a lot of questions over many decades. But I think many people don't know that I grew up in Bermuda, and many Bermudians, as you know, went off to Canada for education. So I always had close ties to Canada. I actually have a team in Toronto, and many people don't know that. I have two Canadian partners for a company called Inflection Point. And we have been building a new company called OB Mobiles that we're very excited about. We have a number of Canadian investors in that company, and we're building an Apple-quality smartphone. But we're not copying Apple. We're building on the Android operating system. We're targeting the emerging markets. We'll be in some 70 countries by the end of next year. And I brought together the original team that worked with me at Apple, the head of product design, the head of marketing, and some others to design truly spectacular products, but for price points that young people in the emerging countries around the world can afford, which means our prices start down at $80, if you can believe that, U.S. for a smartphone, and it goes up to about $240. This is a very interesting company, and it has quite a few Canadian roots to it.
Well, from that perspective, it's pretty interesting because Moonshot is subtitled Game-Changing Strategies to Build Billion-Dollar Businesses. You talk about the exponential convergence of specific technologies. It sounds like your new venture has learned a lot of being successful and striving to be successful by the tips in your book.
The reason I wrote the book, this is not my autobiography. This is a book about lessons that I and other entrepreneurs have learned, that we're in this truly amazing moment for anyone who's interested in building a successful entrepreneurial business on a substantial scale. And what's happened is that these technologies that we all hear about almost every day, cloud, mobility, big data analytics, it's not the technologies you need to focus on. It's the derivative effects of those technologies that is shifting market power from large incumbent companies, product companies, service companies all over the world, shifting it to new companies where customers are paying more attention, Robert, to the opinions of other customers than they are to the established positions of the incumbent companies. A perfect example of this would be what's happening in the food service industry. If anyone had said a decade ago that a company like McDonald's would be seeing its back up against the wall trying to figure out how does it survive, you would have said, well, that's just crazy. That's not possible. Look at what's happening today as new companies are coming in, whether it's Chipotle or other companies who are coming in and completely disrupting the full food service market. So Shake Shack, which is a company that went public in the U.S. last year, has an incredible following. And if you go online and look at the customers' opinions of Shake Shack and Chipotle, you'll see very, very happy customers. And they're telling other customers just how good they feel. And that's an example of just how this world is shifting and how entrepreneurs can take advantage of it. And Moonshot, and the easiest way to get the Moonshot is to go to Amazon, which you can get the audio book or the electronic book, or you can get a hardcover book as well. I go into great detail of how entrepreneurs are doing this industry after industry and how we're just in the early days to be able to build these totally disruptive companies in established industries.
So, John, we've heard about disruption for a number of years now, and you, of course, have been part of that for many, many years in your career. So why now? What has happened other than the convergence of these extraordinary and derivative technologies, why now for you to write Moonshot?
I think the real reason why this is such a perfect time is that I'll just look at my own country in the U.S. as an example of this. All of the job growth is coming from small and medium-sized businesses. This is an era where governments are not hiring. In many cases, they're reducing the number of employees in the U.S., both federal and state governments. Large corporations may dominate with their market values, but they're not really significant in terms of hiring new people. The hiring is taking place in entrepreneurial businesses. More and more people are looking at alternative careers where they're working part-time on a project basis for more than one employer. They're independent contractors. If you go back 20 years ago, that was about 5% of the workforce in the U.S. Well, now it's up to about 12 to 13% of the workforce is working part-time in the U.S. That number is expected to double over the next decade. So we're getting a fundamental change in terms of where jobs are being created, how people are choosing to work, the flexibility that people have to work with other independent contractors. And what it means is that the cost of entry to start a new business has never been less and the opportunity has never been greater.
So, John, you've covered off quite a few things already, but if I really honed in on it, there's a couple of chapters in the book that are really, to me, tell the whole story, and particularly it's chapter number 8. The best advice I can give an entrepreneur, find a mentor. Can we address that for a minute? Because I know you are a mentor to many businesses.
When I came to Silicon Valley back in the 1980s, I had been really only in corporate America. So this was an entirely new experience to me. And I looked back and I said, gee, I wish I'd had a mentor when I was in Silicon Valley. There wasn't anyone there I could turn to. There was no email. There were no mobile phones. There was no easy way to be able to have conversations on a routine basis with somebody. The government at that time was extremely restrictive in terms of even allowing people within the same industry to talk with one another. So the world has changed significantly over the decades. And now many of the most successful entrepreneurs look to having a second pair of trusted eyes who is a mentor. That may be a board member, it may be an investor, it may just be a good friend, maybe somebody who's been in the game and then retired, but still wants to play some active role in helping the next generation of entrepreneurs. And so the role of mentors is becoming not only valuable for the entrepreneur, but it's a lot of fun for people who realize now they're going to live longer, they're going to be healthier longer, and they may choose to retire at 60, but they know they're going to live a very healthy life for maybe 30 more years. So being a mentor has a lot of advantages, not only for the person who is receiving the mentoring, but for the people who become the mentors themselves.
So jumping back into the book, are there three things that you would want entrepreneurs and business owners to remember about the book?
Well, here's what I would say. Entrepreneurs have some very common characteristics, regardless of what industry or what part of the world they're in. The first is they have an incredible, insatiable curiosity as to why are things the way they are, and isn't there a better way? The second thing is that the most successful ones focus on the customer first. It's all about saying what's in it for the customer. And the idea of a business plan has been such a tradition in so many companies that literally months are spent putting the business plan together. And yet the next year, someone can summarize in less than 5 minutes what actually got done. And so my sense is that the business plan is really just a budgeting process. And what you really want is the customer plan. And the customer plan is something I go into great detail explaining why a customer plan is far more relevant than the business plan and how to build one. And it's all about consumer engagement, about how you acquire customers, the cost of customer acquisition. Here's a simple generalization that's so true across every industry that I've ever been involved with. If you lose a customer, to replace the sales of a lost customer, Robert, typically takes 5 to 8 times more expense than if you held on to that customer in the first place. So keeping a happy customer happy inside of your franchise is a far better business decision than going out and just trying to find another customer, because those customers you already have are going to be a lot more profitable to you than the cost of having to go out and replace a lost customer with a new customer. And so when you start to look at those kinds of insights and then put it into the framework of how do you build a customer plan and look at everything through the metrics of customers, it becomes extremely important. So the first thing is curiosity. The second is it's all about defining a customer problem and then focusing on solving the customer problem. And the third, I would say, is a sense of urgency. If you look at big established corporations, they have one thing in common. They all empower their middle managers with the power to say no. And that means that things take a long time to get yes answers. And so the advantage that entrepreneurs have, because remember, they're risk takers, they're taking risks because they're trying new things, not everything will work, is that they have to have a sense of urgency. They have to be willing to do things on a faster, more flexible time schedule. And those are the three big advices that I would give to somebody who's thinking about being part of an entrepreneurial economy.
So this is really interesting because you talk about customer engagement and customer acquisition, and yet the core of your book, in fact, is, as we said earlier, is a convergence of incredible, exponentially expanding technologies. And yet, in your mind and in the book, we hone right in on the customer and take advantage of those technologies and don't miss the opportunity. I think they're all just tools. Really, it depends on how you apply and use the tool. What do you think about tools and technology?
Well, I first really got to appreciate what tools were all about when I went to Apple. And I remember sitting in meetings with engineering teams, and we'd be looking at what people were working on and what their deliverables were. And what amazed me was that people weren't just talking about delivering a product on a schedule. They were talking about first developing tools. And I said, well, I thought we're in the business of developing products. Why are we developing tools? And I didn't understand when I first went to Apple how important having unique tools were to enabling people who would build applications on your products, were to give them the resources so they would want to choose you over a competitor. And so tools are incredibly important. In fact, if you look at the lessons that come out of Silicon Valley, you find that there's not much focus on organization charts and structures, but there's a huge focus, Robert, on making sure that there are appropriate tools, whether they are tools for engineers to build products or tools for customer service and support to support the products in aftermarket sales, or whether they are tools to enable a sales organization to go out and build a marketplace. So tools are fundamental to an entrepreneurial company, whereas organization charts and traditional ways of thinking about things, there's a lot more flexibility in how you do that in an entrepreneurial company. But even the way offices are laid out, the world I came from in corporate America back in the 1970s, everyone had their own office. And it was more typical even for the executives to have their own secretary sitting outside their office. Well, you'll never see that in an entrepreneurial company. It's more likely you'll see in very open format, you know, many people sharing the same bench, sitting in front of computer screens, a lot of flexibility, people working from home, people working on their mobile device, wherever they happen to be. So structure is not so important. What really is important is having the right tools and having a very clear focus on customer curiosity, what's going on, and a sense of urgency.
John, one final comment on tools. I have a sense that most companies of all sizes, and particularly the Fortune 500 companies, have missed the boat on using social media tools as tools, and all think of just as marketing initiatives. Do you feel that they've crossed the line and they're starting to figure out social media and all of its aspects as tools?
Well, I had a really enjoyable experience a few weeks ago. I was in Prague, Czech Republic. I'd been invited to give the keynote at the Social Bakers Social Marketing Conference. This is the biggest social marketing conference of the year. About 1,000 attendees from all the major marketing companies in the world attended this. And what was exciting to me was just how rapidly the tools for social media, social marketing are developing. And what looked like something that was kind of on the edge of priorities for marketing now suddenly is right smack in the center of everything that's going on in marketing. And every major company that is trying to build brand in the market, wherever you are, it can be in a developed country like Canada, it can be in an emerging market as you find in the Middle East or Africa or Southeast Asia. The reality is that social media marketing is becoming mainstream, and there's no way to avoid it anymore. And so it was tremendously exciting to me to be invited to be keynote speakers at various marketing events around the world. Many people are interested in terms of what did I learn in my various areas. Well, I never retired. Remember, I've been doing this for decades and have no interest to retire. So I'm working with some of the best marketing minds and creative talent in the world, and I still get to get a seat at the table. I don't run companies anymore, but I found companies, I advise companies, I'm a rainmaker for companies. So I get a seat at the table with some extraordinarily talented people, and more these people are experts in social media marketing.
So John, two more questions about Moonshot. The first is, after reading it, what are the three things that you believe entrepreneurs would be able to do that they could not do before reading Moonshot?
I'm just passing on, in many ways, lessons not only that I've learned, but more importantly, that many very successful entrepreneurs have also learned. So it's really not that complicated in terms of what you have to do. The real challenge is learning how to do it. And so Moonshot is more like a handbook. It's a book that you might want to have sitting within easy reach, because it's not just a book that you can read once and put down and say, well, I've done that, I'll go off and do something else. Hopefully, it's something that keeps reminding you that there are going to be many different moments when you're building a company. Entrepreneurs, by definition, wear different hats at different times, and they have to be able to not only become experts in a domain meaning a vertical where you have to really know your way around, you have to have a network of relationships in that domain, but you've got to know how to recruit talent that may have expertise in domains that you don't have talent in or experience in. And so what Moonshot does is to explain why this is so important, how to connect the dots between these different domains, and how to adapt. It's all about what I describe in Moonshot as the adaptive innovator. How do you adapt to the changing moments in the stage of life of an entrepreneurial company? Because what you do in the startup phase is dramatically different than what you do during the expansion stage. So these are the lessons which are packed into Moonshot. And as I say, if you want an ebook version, you can get that from Amazon. If you want a hardcover book, they sell that as well. But some people just like the audiobook. They like to listen to it as they're driving a car. It's something that you want to just bake into your background, that you know that there are people out there who are doing the types of things that I describe in Moonshot, and it's the difference between having a big success or not. And so I wanted to get those messages out in a really easy way for entrepreneurs to get their hands on it.
Well, you certainly do, because the book is exceptional. Now, my final and my favorite question for authors. John, it's this. When writing Moonshot, what did you, John Sculley, learn that you hadn't expected to learn?
Well, here's the really interesting thing. I did a lot of the writing of Moonshot with my brother David, who was formerly the CEO of H.J. Heinz USA. And David and I worked together on a number of new companies. And what Moonshot did, so I would write it and he would help edit it, go back and forth on it, and constantly trying to simplify it down. For us, it's been an incredible tool. We wrote the book because we wanted to pass on some lessons to the next generation of entrepreneurs. But quite honestly, this turned out to have a very selfish purpose, and that is it's been a way to help us focus on the businesses we're actually helping entrepreneurs build right now to apply the very principles that I articulated in Moonshot. So I look at the big benefits for me as not selling books. It's all about, wow, it really sharpened my own thinking about the things that entrepreneurs really have to get right.
Exceptional. John Sculley, former CEO of Apple and Pepsi, author of Moonshot. All the information at johnsculley.com. John, thank you so much for being a guest on the Profit Business Cast.
Thank you very much, Robert. Good to be back with you.
And until next time, I'm Robert Gold, Managing Partner of Bennett Gold LLP, Chartered Accountants in Toronto. If you want to learn how to connect the dots, check us out at bennettgold.ca. You can find other great episodes of the Profit Business Cast at profitguide.com. See you next time in the morning, everyone, and good night, Elbow, Saskatchewan.
You've been listening to the Profit Business Cast, Canada's business podcast, and brought to you by Bennett Gold LLP, Chartered Accountants. From acceleration to succession, strategy to tax planning, there's a lot more through the door at bennettgold.ca.